Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. That shovel sharp. Good morning.
And, that banjo pick is sharp too.
By golly, it is. Your brother gets better every week, that is for sure. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. He's the expert. I just kind of answered the phones. But we've got a great show lined up here for you. We actually have a little something extra for folks participating today.
Right. We have cyclamen plants. And say, what is a cyclamen plant?
What is a cyclamen plant?
Something you recycle? No.
No.
A cyclamen is a kind of a tropical plant.
Yeah.
Put it in the house. You can also grow them outside after all danger of frost is over. Thank you for making the weather this winter.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it can be planted outside in a partly sunny situation as well. But it does like a good east window in the house. And good thing about these is they are tolerant of the cool weather. In fact, they kind of require it. So anyway, it's very easy to grow a houseplant. Most people water them too much. So,
yeah.
So it's pretty easy to grow. Anyway, we got some of those for you to come by the radio station to pick up a coupon to come to the nursery and pick it up.
We got a coupon.
So anyway, in the garden this week, golly, soil preparation. Cut back your evergreen shrubs like hollies and nandinas. Start tomatoes in the house, perhaps, and transplant your peony plants.
Hey.
It's time also to, in the yard to dethatch. Ooh, get the mower going. Yeah, sharpen that blade.
Oh, yeah.
Change that air filter. Change that oil.
That's on my list for tomorrow. It is.
Yeah,
I got two mowers.
Yeah, this I got to see. Yeah,
okay. I got to do that. No, honestly, that's what we're doing.
time to fertilize that fescue grass.
Uh-huh.
The weeds are starting to grow, so time to put down a weed and feed fertilizer. It's a bit early yet, so you can still use Roundup in your Bermuda grass. It's not growing yet, and that'll selectively remove the weeds.
Okay.
If you live in an area where it's warmer, you might want to use a selective weed control for broadleaf weeds.
Got it.
Trimec, 240, those kind of things, and that'll do a good job of doing that. It's too early for crabgrass control, so wait till St. Patrick's Day, which is in about 9 days.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to do that. However, we do have some prodiamine at the nursery. If it's very long-lasting herbicide, you can use a pre-emergent herbicide. Be very careful on the newly planted sods, such as zoysia and some of the Bermuda grass, too. It can get damaged by excessive amounts of pre-emergent. Mm-hmm. So, number one, know your square footage when you put this stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
And then take that amount that it's kind of hard to weigh it. so many pounds per 1,000 square feet. It's difficult to weigh out. But the bag comes in a 20 or 40 pound bag, whatever size bag it is. And you can kind of go half of that and maybe do 10 pounds. You know, try to get the proper amount on there and try not to overdo it. It's best to slightly underdo it than it is to overdo it, especially with some of the get it out.
That too.
The prodiamine, it's easy to over-apply it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, just slightly under-apply, and it'll still be effective. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that's really for right now. The pre-emergent is for the weeds that have not come up yet.
Yes.
If you've got weeds in your yard, you put it on there, they're going to love the fertilizer that they use as a base material, and the weeds are going to grow like crazy.
Ooh.
It will have no effect.
None.
So you'll have these dandelions the size of redwood trees.
Oh, those are some dandy dandelions.
That's not supposed to kill them. No, it's a pre-emergent.
Yeah.
So use a post-emergent herbicide.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between the two. So, dethatch the yard. Fescue grass, it took a little bit of a hit this winter. It looks a little scruffy on the top.
Yeah.
So you can do a dethatching. I remember as a kid, we were in Chicago, we would dethatch our fescue yard. It was so cold in there, June.
Yeah.
We might do it by late May or June, but over here now's prime time for that.
Yes.
It does a good job of cleaning up the appearance of the yard too. When it comes out, it looks pristine and green and all that. And right now on the fescue grass, you can mow it relatively low. But as the season progresses, you want to progressively increase the height of it.
Got it.
Because fescue is a cool season grass. It doesn't like the hot that well. In fact, it goes kind of dormant in the summertime. Yeah. So you want to try to get it to really get going right now and get it really growing. We got rain coming this week, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And get it in warm weather, too. So you really want to get it cleaned up and detached and all that and get it ready for the heat.
Warm and windy all the way up till Wednesday, and then we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday chances of thunderstorms.
Yeah, so boom, here we go.
Planning ahead.
Yeah, listen for the tornado sirens.
Oh, buddy, you know. Winter last week, tornadoes next. Here we go. Welcome to Oklahoma and Kansas, you know.
With these weather fronts, the way they're coming through, you never know. Golly.
Oh, yeah.
So. Last week we kind of avoided a dry line, so.
Yeah, we did.
So that was pretty, here it comes.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the vegetable garden this week, cool crops like onions can be planted right now. We have a great selection of onions at the nursery, and taters.
Taters!
You bet. We got purple taters, and yellow taters, and red taters.
Tater salad.
And these we get it from a very high quality supplier.
Got it.
And the bulbs we get into, the iris bulbs and all that, really nice big bulbs. And we got some elephant ear bulbs. They're huge. It takes two hands to hold this bulb up.
Wow. Yeah.
It's so
kind of like a small watermelon that big.
Well,
huh?
It is, yeah. They call it, it's an elephant ear bulb, but it really doesn't look anything like an elephant ear.
No.
Or anything. It looks more like something an elephant would leave behind.
Okay, well, okay. That kind.
But anyway, they're big, big bulbs. So. And so you get a really nice big plant. Mm-hmm. So we've got a good selection of those right now. Some gladiolus bulbs, too. And these are, they're about that big around.
About a 60-watt bulb.
Yeah, about, yeah. They're nice. They're the nice big ones.
Yeah.
That you can get. We don't buy these little dinky things you get at the discount stores. We get really nice big bulbs.
Nice value.
So anyway, come check them out too. All kinds of new colors, some dahlias as well. So anyway, fruit trees right now, bud swell right now. So don't try not to spray things that might affect the bees. So stay away from the imidacloprid right now. Mm-hmm. You can use something like spinosad for borers. I was at somebody's house and looked real closely at their fruit trees the other day, and I saw boar intrusions on their fruit trees. And I said, well, once it's done blooming, you can put down some imidacloprid.
Yeah.
It'll work in there. They've done some studies on the imidacloprid and found really none in the fruit at all. So it's kind of safe to use on your fruit trees.
Good.
So.
How are your plums looking? Plum trees?
They're fine, yeah. I trimmed them up this winter, got them all tidied up, and got all the grass away from the roundup from around them, and they're looking pretty good. I did have some borer problems, and I took care of that, too. So they're doing okay.
We're going to try to keep the hail away from you this year.
If you would, please.
Okay.
Yes.
And put in a good word.
And the cold.
And the cold. All right.
But anyway, typically this time of year, they're just open and ready to go, and it used to be 27 degrees.
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe I'll have some good plums this year. We still have some 2019 plum jellies.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, still good. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of it with the fruit trees. You should have had your pruning all out of the way at this point, and just look for borer damage, and try to keep them watered, but not. I wouldn't worry about it too much. We've had plenty of rain, and they should do okay. This is kind of a time when you really don't want to do much of anything. Because of the bees and things that come in and it will fertilize.
You
got to
let the nature do the nature thing.
So we got to kind of leave them alone at this point. Yeah. And after the pollination occurs, then you can start some applications.
Good.
For those squiggly little worms that get in there, eat up the fruit.
Oh my!
And all that other stuff. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So in the vegetable garden, cool crops. We talk about that. Cool crops is broccoli, cabbage, and whatnot. And of course, onions and carrots and stuff. Right now, on your tomatoes, you might want to go ahead and put some magnesium sulfate down and a little bit of gypsum too. The gypsum provides some calcium, which is necessary for them to grow without having blossom end rot. Mm-hmm. The blossom end rot on the tomatoes is not only is it somewhat environmental, but it's indicative of a calcium deficiency in the soil. And the gypsum will supply that, and it'll give you some element of sulfur as well.
Good.
And the magnesium, I know I'm just getting comfortable here.
That's okay.
But the magnesium sulfate gives some essential magnesium, and the sulfur helps keep the soil pH down. Mm-hmm. Tomatoes lack a pH of about 6.5.
Okay.
So now's the time to get that dirt all churned up and perhaps put a few soil amendments in it. So
get that taken care of.
You bet.
Alrighty. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Tim from United Reynolds.
We have a lot of tree trimmers. They'll come in on Friday evening. You can get a towable boom, pull it behind a half-ton pickup, go home, trim your trees, paint your house, clean your gutters. You can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, one-day charge. It's a great deal at United Reynolds. 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801. No Water Road, United Reynolds.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday or by appointment.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny
skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
All righty, we are back to the Green Country Gardener program. It's 8:21. Our phone lines are open today at 1-800-749-5936. Larry?
Anyway, people ask me, well, how can I prevent weeds in the yard? Well,
how can you?
The number one way is to have a very healthy turf grass.
Gotcha.
So, good. And that means it needs some feed. Because the grass, the lawn, is an artificial environment.
Yeah, it is.
If you go out of town... you see, lawns do not exist.
No.
So we have to supplement their needs by adding some fertilizer occasionally, too. So it really, and mow it high. You know, those Bermuda grass, you can mow it real low right now if you can get the mower started. But anyway, you can mow it fairly low right now. But bring it up as the summer progresses. And it does a good job of choking out the weeds. But anyway, if you go ahead and basically... And accentuate the positive, what I always say, on the grass. Mm-hmm. Try to make the grass grow, not the weeds. Make the grass grow, then it'll be pretty healthy. You'll have a few here and there, but it's not going to be like an outbreak if you keep the yard fairly healthy. So anyway, keep in mind, we do have some plants to give away today on the show. So give us a call if you have a question. What's going on with the shrubs this week? Well, we really need to look at the plants. I've been looking at crepe myrtles all over town.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems we had a rather severe dieback on the crepe myrtles.
Oh, boy.
Thanks to you guys who can't manage the weather like you're supposed to.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, I know. You gooped up. You must have been out of town or something. But anyway.
Get my Doppler work done.
The good thing about crepe myrtles is they grow very quickly. So even though your really nice-looking crepe myrtle has died back a little bit, it'll be back to somewhat of a good stature this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll take a couple of years if you have a tree form for it to recover. So, but they'll make it okay. They survived okay. They'll be fine. Do we have a caller?
No.
Oh, okay. Somebody else.
Oh, wait a second. Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. Let's go to the phones here, and good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Good morning.
Yes, I have clumps of, it's not monkey grass, but it's green like monkey grass. Is it time I can cut that off?
Yes.
Okay. That's the what I needed to know.
Yeah, it takes a 12 horsepower weed eater, but you can cut it back, so.
I used my kitchen shears last year and worked fine.
Well, great.
Because I tried my garden shears and it didn't work, but my kitchen shears did. So
yeah, say something pretty sharp and all that too. So anyway, and yeah. Your first name is?
Labita.
Labita. All right. Very good. You're in the running for a cyclamen plant.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right, good. And that's how easy it is.
Yeah.
1-800-749-5936.
Yeah, with the shrubs. I sort of consider the monkey grass, liriope, a shrub, if you will. And, yeah. Because it's used in compositions with shrubs an awful lot. Mm-hmm. And the liriope, which is the more appropriate name for monkey grass, took a real hit this winter. It looks scruffy. I even cut mine back last weekend.
Yee.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the weed eater ran out of string, and I forgot how to load it. I spent more time reloading the string on the thing.
Oh, my.
Cut it back.
Gee,
but anyway, so that needs to really be cut back, too. So the holly plants also can be cut back rather sternly. I plan on doing my Yopon hollies today, little dwarf Yopon hollies. Yeah, they're 30 years old and early, not even knee-high, so you got to really keep them cut back. And the big Yopon hollies, too. Some places, they look kind of black, and they're really burned back from the cold. So I think we're going to have to do some cutting back on the Yopon hollies as well. But they recover nicely, and they recover quickly. So they'll be fine. Some things like lauropetalums had a real rough go of it this winter. Some of the lauropetalums did great. Some of them didn't. It's very, very sporadic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really keyed in on the amount of water available, too. So fortunately, with this cold spell we had, it was preceded by some precipitation, so the moisture level was somewhat adequate in mm-hmm. the soil, so we didn't get as much damage as we could have gotten. So anyway, so it's just going to be kind of a major cutback this year.
Phone lines are open, 1-800-749-5936 to take your calls. Here with the Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Hope right. Your Saturday's going great. We got some sunshine today. But
it is going great, yeah.
It is super, super. Now, Larry weather. Even got some exercise this past week. The weather was so nice.
Oh, boy.
You caught up, did you?
After being able to really do not much of anything for 2 weeks, uh-huh. We're going to have to get caught up on our installation schedule. It's a disaster. So we'll get caught up June.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. On your roses,
yeah.
We're starting to see some bud growth on the roses at this mm-hmm. point, so you might want to look closely at them. A lot of the knockout roses really got knocked out this year,
mm-hmm.
but they come back very quickly, so I think they'll do okay, really. They recover very fast. They grow very quickly. And the good thing about the knockout rose is it's a floribunda rose, mm-hmm. number one. And number two, it's not grafted.
Mm-hmm.
So if it dies all the way to the ground, it'll come back up. So
it just does it.
Do very well.
You can't kill it. You can just knock it out.
You can kill it. There is that Rosette's disease going around.
Oh, yeah.
And it caused a lot of damage on the knockout roses. So we carry a few of them just because people really still want them.
Yeah.
And they're mm-hmm. willing to take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some in town that are doing quite well that are unaffected. And some mm-hmm. of them are. Some of them aren't. The Rosette's disease is carried by mites. Little tiny little insect, and they hitch a ride on birds
mm-hmm.
and bugs and stuff that fly around that go from one plant to another.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to control them. Mm-hmm. If you do a pretty good job of controlling mites as a rule on your plants, you probably won't have much of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to do that. That's why they got the knockout roses. No one won't mess with them. So anyway, mm-hmm. So I think the roses for the most part. But for the most part, we'll make a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to transplant your roses also. Clean up it and mulch them. Get them mm-hmm. all cleaned up and trimmed up and all that. Look for conflicting wood and so on. There's some rules to follow. The upturned hand for the branching structure. That's what you really want to look out for your roses too. They really prefer a more open growth pattern. So that's kind of what's going on there. Also, fertilization. They're going to really be growing gangbusters here real soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, soon as, with the weather coming up this week, beautiful weather.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of growth. A lot of this week is going to be a big change in the way it looks here in town. So, also time, I mentioned transplanting and mulching.
Yes.
And transplanting the roses, too. So, anyway, that's what's kind of going on there. What's new in roses this coming year? We're going to carry the drift roses. Drift roses are kind of a somewhere between a miniature rose and a standard rose.
Okay.
And what I like about these is they have hundreds of little flowers on them.
Hmm.
A whole bunch of them. And they bloom in the heat and so on. They do really quite well. So easy to grow. Mm-hmm. And really, I haven't seen very many, if any, instances of rosette disease.
Good.
I have two of them in my backyard. And I don't do anything to them.
You just have one of those magic yards, Larry.
Well, yeah, I guess if you live on Mars, yes. But anyway, so they're doing really quite well. So on the rest of your shrubs, make sure that you know they're pretty well watered, which isn't much of a problem. And it's a good time to do some bed cleanup, too. Get the shovel in there and dig it up and turn the soil over. Get ready for your annuals.
Work your dirt.
Get that dirt working. So it's a busy time, you know.
It is.
Get the shovel out of the shed,
get
sharpen
sharp.
It up, oil it down, and get out there and get that ground turned over. And what should I plan for when this for the spring? Well, for the spring, you want to know when the insects are getting busy.
Oh yeah.
Lace bugs, for instance, on your azaleas, and bore insects on there, on some of your plants. You want to do some control on that. The imidacloprid is typically the one we're using now. The other stuff is kind of off the market. So spinosad is another one, but the imidacloprid is systemic, and it does a very good job. And you probably want to apply that real soon to help keep the critters out of your azaleas. And also bagworms will be coming up before you know it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It takes a little while for this stuff to get integrated into the plant. So you want to plan ahead on applying it. Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
Well, put them on.
Let's do it. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on the air.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
I have a century plant that I've been able to grow here in northeast Oklahoma.
Cool.
For about 4 years now, and it's done really well. It's gotten big, but this winter, all that ice, it's damaged the outer leaves, and it looks terrible, but the center stock still looks okay.
Right.
What should I do? Cut those off?
Yeah, I'd cut it back and get it a fresh start. It's going to be a little skimpy for a while, but it'll eventually return to where it is.
Okay.
But, yeah.
It won't hurt it to cut it right now?
It really shouldn't. I don't know that it's really going to spur on a lot of growth this early in the spring. So yeah, you go ahead and cut it back and. You could kind of cut the leaves. The rest, if there's some green on the leaves, you can sort of selectively cut off the brown part. If you cut the leaves at a bit of an angle, it looks a little bit more natural.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, that's one thing for that. Century plants are kind of sketchy up here, really, but surprised it made it.
Yeah, they're kind of zone 8 and
yeah.
through 10, but I had bought one in Texas just for... Thought I'd try it, and it's made it for, this will be the fourth summer, it will be still alive, and it's put off several babies.
Huh.
I think I've gotten 6 or 7 babies off of it, and they don't seem to be affected by this ice storm. They still look okay. It's just the main plant that got most of the freeze.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll find it'll make
maybe they were buried down enough or something. Well, I don't know.
A lot of times when they say zone 8, for instance, that means that typically on the weather in that zone, they're not damaged by the cold. Now, we have all kinds of plants up here that are zone 6 and 7, whatever, a little bit further, even some zone 8 plants we planted. Yeah, they get damaged by the winter, but they come back.
They still survive, yeah.
Now, if you try to stretch it out with a zone 9 plant, forget it. It won't make it.
Yeah, that's kind of pushing it, but, definitely.
Yeah, and it's a matter of appearance and tolerance, too. Those two factors, you have to weigh in on it. So.
Yeah, it's beautiful when it grows. I mean, this last summer, it was just gorgeous. It got real big and just really unusual-looking plant in the landscape, you know, something that stands out like mm-hmm. a focal point.
Exactly, they're good specimen plants. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
right.
what's your first name, and we'll put you in the running for a free cyclamen plant.
Oh, my name is Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay, Cheryl. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Thank you.
And we've got more of the program coming up right here. It's the Green Country Gardener Show, and we'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Peter's True Value in Dewey with super bargains each month. Now through the 14th, Easy Care Paint. Save $15 instantly off each gallon purchased of Easy Care Ultra Premium or Easy Care Platinum Interior or Exterior Paint or Easy Care Woodsman Exterior Stain. And take 20% off Master Painter Better Applicators to make painting or staining easy. Discover all your project needs at TrueValue.com. Save on these and other bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
What do you do if you really need a better vehicle, but you have bad credit? Come talk with your friends at Roman's Chevrolet Buick in Independence. Roman's not only has the ability, but also the desire to get anyone approved for a vehicle. They are your one-stop shop. They'll buy your old vehicle, help you find a great ride, and now help with financing, no matter how bad your credit is. Get more details from Roman's Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, with financing for everyone.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about saving for retirement?
Yeah, but how do I start?
It's easy with Avo, a retirement coach. Let's learn the Avo bet. A is for taking action.
Not anxiety?
No, Kevin, you're going to be fine.
You sing?
Barely. V is for variety.
Huh, change up my strategy. Okay.
O is for optimize your savings.
Let Avo lead the way.
Visit aceyourretirement.org today. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
They say the early bird gets the worm, but the early bird around here gets informed with K1 Morning News weekday mornings at 6. I'm Tom Davis. I'll have your headlines. Phil Weaver has your entertainment and your long-range forecast. Weather highlights with KOTV News on 6 meteorologist Alan Crone and sports with Evan Farbach. Wake up energized and informed. K1 Morning News weekdays 6 to 10 on K1, the one you trust. Yep. It's back to the Green Country Gardener Program. 8:36 is our time, and we have a phone line that's burning right here for us, Larry, at 1-800-749-5936. Let's go ahead and take it. Hi, good morning. You're on the air with the Green Country Gardener.
Yes, I was wondering, is it too late to trim? Our bush was a cedar bush, or I think it's a juniper now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it too late to trim that back?
It's prime time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they haven't really flushed yet, so, yeah.
What does flush mean?
It'll recover quickly from being pruned at this point.
Okay. What does flush mean?
Well, that's when it begins to really grow out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's blooming now. I mean, my allergies can tell.
pick a time when it's windy, and then...
Yeah.
Or just wear your mask, I guess.
Yes, and I do. All right.
All right.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. You're saying?
I had a couple other questions.
Okay, go ahead.
You were talking about magnesium sulfate for
tomatoes.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Does that just come as magnesium sulfate, or is there a name for it?
Epsom salts is a common name.
Oh, Epsom. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. And I also was wondering about preem. I've never used it, but I get a lot of Bermuda grass in my flower beds.
Right. Well, preem works by stopping the sprouting of seeds, and it really won't stop the Bermuda grass from creeping.
Okay.
So, yeah, that has to be on my beds at home. I just physically remove it, just dig it up. That's what I was doing last weekend. Yeah, I got more to do this weekend, but that's what I was doing last weekend, was digging all that stuff up. But
yeah, oh, okay. All right, then I guess that answers my question. Well, how long can I trim the juniper with?
Well, if it really is, while it's really actively growing, it would be the very last time you can do that. They have a growth spurt once a year. But really, they're very resilient plants. I've seen the power company come in and trim them back in July. They still do fine. So, but there's the best time, and we're in that time frame right now.
Oh, great. Okay.
And your first name is?
Barbara.
Barbara. Okay, Barbara, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you very much. And that leaves a line open for you at 1-800-749-5936, right here on the Green Country Gardener Program, Larry.
Right. We were talking about know when what kind of bugs are going to affect your plants.
Yeah.
And we kind of follow through with that pretty closely every week.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point in time, there's not a whole lot of bug activity. In fact, I think we're going to benefit from this cold spell we had.
Mm-hmm.
at least you won't have probably as many ticks. I don't know. But anyway, you also want to plan your beds for ease of watering and weed control, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And know your ability to maintain it, too. You don't want too much square footage in annual flowers or something. Mm-hmm. So when you do your planting, you might want to consider that factor also. How much time do you have to put into this to make it look good? And how much mulch? Well, you get the you calculate your surface area and divide that by 12. And that'll equal how many bags of mulch you need for 3-inch layer.
There you go.
And then get on the phone, call us, we'll bring it out. No charge on delivery. So anyway, what kind of options are there in landscape lighting? Let's talk about another thing.
There's
several options. What's really going on now is a lot of LED. You see very few halogen landscape lights anymore. Mm-hmm. They're all gone to the LED lights because they're so efficient.
Mm-hmm.
We did one in Osage County where we just got lots of lights on it. And we oversized the transformer because we had plans for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put more lights on it. And they still all just light it brilliantly. So it's a kind of a revolution in landscape lighting as far as the LEDs are concerned. And it's more efficient. And the connections on the wiring last a lot longer, mm-hmm. because there's not so much of an amperage going through, mm-hmm. that. So that's been a problem with low voltage lights in the past. You got to run these incredibly thick wires down the downline. Like we did one where we had 8-gauge wires. This is 20 years ago, and that was still not enough. I had to run a duplicate line.
Ooh.
So the new these LEDs,
nice and streamlined.
You can run telephone lines that still work. You know.
Good heavens!
So I've got those around my house, and. Mm-hmm. Just where I had three transformers, I have one.
Wow.
Using,
talk about efficiency.
About a quarter of the amount of electricity I was using as well to run it. So it's very, very efficient, mm-hmm. and very, very power conscious. And they're available in spotlights and path lights, just like the others.
Mm-hmm.
And the light sources, you can't call them bulbs, but the light sources,
yes.
are compatible with the halogens, too.
I'll be darned.
They have some. You just plug right in and bingo, you're done. And you can take out that 600 watt transformer and put 100 watt in and still save yourself some power.
And say, hey, power company, how you like me now?
So that's made it a lot easier to design a lighting system too.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of cool with that. And fairly materials, fairly different material. I like to use either stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
Or the aluminum that have a baked on enamel,
yes.
finish. They last a lot longer. Some of these other ones that they get corroded really easily. You got to look at the paint on them when you look at it. Turn them upside down and see if that paint, see if you see any bare aluminum.
Yeah.
Because golly, they just don't last. They just fall apart. Because they're outside all the time. It has to take a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of systems in town with light fixtures that we have to kind of special order them, but they're surprisingly inexpensive. They're all stainless steel,
mm-hmm.
all glass, and all silicone. Even the screws that hold it together are stainless steel.
Wow.
And these are actually intended to be underwater lights. And we put them and we haven't had any problems with them.
Well, you know, sometimes spring and summer, we kind of get
we underwater. Get underwater, yeah. so you do want to plan for that, too. And so there's several ways to attach them also.
Yeah.
You can, we put them on landscape blocks.
Yeah.
Screwed them to a landscape block.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can move them around. You know, move them around the landscape and adjust them easily that way without having to dig them up and move them also.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you put them together, when you have a major node, we bring out the solder and solder those joints together mm-hmm. and then seal them. So they'll last. I've had one in the ground, I know, since 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Still works.
Very good.
We overhauled it a few years ago and put LEDs in, the bulbs and all that, and it still works. So anyway, so if you do it right, they'll last a long time. Yeah. So lighting is kind of important. It looks really nice at night. I've got a lot of landscape lights at my house. They show off the plants in the back and all that. It's really kind of nice to look
cool.
at. Cool. So that's fun.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Okay, we're going to be right back here in just a moment after this two-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday or by appointment.
The Washington County Junior Livestock Show would like to thank the following for their bids in the 2021 Washington County Junior Livestock Show sale. Patriot Auto Group for their bid on Samantha Gray's Grand Champion Steer. Phillips 66 for their bid on Kennedy Watson's Grand Champion Lamb. RCB Bank for their bid on Kennedy Watson's Grand Champion Goat. Patriot Auto Group and Armstrong Bank for their bid on Ember Bell's Grand Champion Hog. Romans Outdoor Power, Regent Bank, and KYFM Radio for their bid on Braden Adcock's Reserve Grand Champion Steer. Patriot Auto Group for their bid on Emma Lewis's Reserve Grand Champion Lamb. Copan Truck Stop and Patriot Auto Group for their bid on Kennedy Watson's Reserve Grand Champion Goat. South Coffeyville Stockyards and P&K Equipment for their bid on Johnny Tilly's Reserve Grand Champion Hog. Regent Bank, Romans Outdoor Power, Armstrong Bank, and Patriot Auto Group for their bid on Cade Gosnell's Breed Champion Steer. Arvest Bank, Romans Outdoor Power, and K-Rig Radio for their bid on Tristan Hinkle's Breed Champion Steer. And Regent Bank and Patriot Auto Group for their bid on Jordan Heskett's Reserve Breed Champion Steer.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband Mark was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
All righty. It is 8:46 Green Country Gardener program, and our telephone lines have been happy, happy, happy today at 1-800-749-5936. Let's go to the phones right now. Good morning. You're on the air with the Green Country Gardener.
Great. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
With the extreme cold temperatures we had this winter, I've noticed my bushes in my front planting bed are... I guess my azalea bushes are looking a little brownish,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't sure if that was if they're supposed to look like that coming into spring. They still have green on them,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of brown mixed in them too. And I didn't know if I'm losing them or if there's something I can do to help them make it through the spring.
Yeah, when I go to people's houses, the first thing I do even before I ring the doorbell is check out their azaleas. And what I've seen so far this year, the damage is just kind of superficial. So pretty soon those leaves will just drop off, and they'll put on some new ones.
Okay.
So it's too late. It's too early, rather, to consider pruning them back at this point. Let's just take a little bit of a wait and see. And they're going to be in bloom pretty soon. And the ones I've seen, the flower buds on them are in pretty good shape. So
okay.
I think it's just
I'll look and see how the buds look on them. I did take a close look at them yesterday, and there's still a lot of green on them, but kind of the ends of some of the leaves are brown and uh-huh. they're curling a little bit. Yeah.
Well, welcome to Bartlesville. No, it did get a little chilly for them, but they're going to make it okay.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And your first name is?
Maury.
Okay, very good. Thank you for calling, Maury.
Thank you.
Okay, your point, Nami, what does that mean?
You're on, dude.
You're busy. Oh, golly. Irrigation, lighting and irrigation is kind of something we do also. Sprinkler systems, they have to be engineered like a lot of things. There's only so much water available, et cetera. And it's kind of like engineering a lighting system in the house. You have to size the wires right and all this other stuff. It's kind of the same thing with the pipes and the plumbing and all that. We're using HDPE pipe, more so than we are PVC pipe.
Okay.
And I really like it. It's very versatile. It's easy to install. It's easy to repair. It doesn't crack and freeze in the cold. And I just like it. it's a superior product. The good thing, what I like about it is you can turn a corner without using an elbow. An elbow, when you take that water, which rushing through that pipe at 5 feet per second, and you hit that 90-degree elbow.
Ooh, yeah.
That's...
That takes a little
imagine
bit
Imagine dropping a rock and you want it to go downhill. It loses some of its energy when it turns that corner. And that's kind of what happens with water. And with the HDB, which this poly pipe is, you make a real long radius rather than when you go from one area to another, instead of drawing or cutting a square trench.
Which doesn't even make sense when you think about it.
You do a round trench, and it follows that. So the water, as it goes through there, has a less restrictive pathway.
Yeah.
So at the very end of the system,
you're getting
good pressure
results. Yeah,
you still have to keep your pipeline velocity down to 5 feet per second, et cetera, et cetera. You do get some friction loss in it, but you don't get the loss involved with elbows. And I've seen some systems where you elbow here, they got 5 or 6 elbows before you get to the last circuit, and you lose some water pressure. Why doesn't it work?
Going the speed limit, we're using elbows.
Typically, the further away from the water source, the fewer the heads you can put on the sprinkler system because of the friction loss.
Gotcha.
So you want to figure that in. And this makes it easier to engineer a system because you can still have that good pressure far away. So anyway, it's a very easy material to use. We've used it actually on a commercial project here in town where we had to go shallow with it.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you couldn't drill a hole in the tunnel to get the water through.
Gotcha.
So in that case, we actually used a PEX pipe over this tunnel downtown. Uh-huh. And then we encased it in the HDPE. So there's no way you're going to get water in the tunnel when you turn on the sprinkler system.
Good to know.
Because the PEX pipe will expand and contract with the freeze, with the frost. And the HDPE pipe, HDPE, will expand also. And if... should the PEX pipe rupture, which is very unlikely, any leak would just go right down the casing and on out to a drain. So I really like it for that. And people, if you did have some damage on your piping on your irrigation system this year, you might consider going with some material like that to repair it. I know we had one little 2-inch section of PVC pipe that cracked at the nursery in the cold.
Yeah,
but we said, okay, I'm not going to let that happen again.
No way.
And so we moved that one further in away from the wall. It was to the cooling system in our greenhouse, which we really didn't need at that time. But anyway, so it can happen, and you have opportunity to repair it now. So,
good.
And I like the high density polyethylene pipe.
Make it all work nice.
Well, the fittings, they just pop together.
Yeah.
And if you have to make a correction, you get this little tool, you slide it in there, and you pop it apart. And you can make your changes and pop it back together.
There you go.
Yeah. So, it's good stuff.
Indeed.
Anyway, how to get a landscape plan. Well, first of all, you have to be aware that you need one.
I've seen folks who are plenty not aware.
There's some cringeworthy houses, even in the best of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So, you might... you just have to kind of take a critical eye at the appearance of your house.
Just remember, it's a yard, not a jungle.
That's right. And anyway, see what it looks like. And does it really match the house? Does it really frame the house? What does this landscape have to do with the architecture of the house? And look at that. And determine, well, it's just fine not to do anything, maybe.
Or, which would be great.
Or this is an absolute disaster.
Composition is a word we must study.
Right. So anyway, you can give us a call at the nursery, and I can look it over, and we can give you some ideas and work up a plan, let you know exactly what to look
which
for.
Which phone number, the folks who think that's a mighty good idea?
Of course, it's 918-333-4091.
There you go.
And I can come on out and give you a... I take some measurements and some pictures, mm-hmm. and basically design the house or model the house in a 3D software thing.
Got it.
And then so you can see it from all different angles, not only just a plan view. Mm-hmm. And we identify all the plants, and we give you a cost for each item. Mm-hmm. So there's everything is exposed, the tax, the labor, all that is presented, so you know exactly what you're spending.
Got it. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick time out. We'll be back in just a moment here with the Green Country Gardener after this two-minute timeout.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Everyone is talking about healthcare these days. America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. Primary care can help fix the problem. To learn more about the benefits of primary care, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
From Main Street to your street, it's K1 Morning News.
Good morning.
I'm Tom Davis. I'll have your headlines. Phil Weaver keeps you up to date with what's happening around the community, and he has your long-range forecast. Weather highlights with KOTV News on 6 meteorologist Alan Crone. High school, college, and professional sports with Evan Farbach. K1 Morning News.
Every morning when I wake up.
Weekday mornings at 6 o'clock on K1, the one you trust.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:56. Larry, what do we got going on?
Well, anyway, like I said, Mitch mentioned earlier at the nursery, we have all kinds of bulbs right now, lily bulbs. You know, some Asiatic lilies. They're very fragrant, really quite nice. And, God, these bulbs are as big as this microphone.
That's pretty good size.
Pretty good size bulb. Yeah. So it's not these little dinky things. Nice big ones. And anyway, reviewing what's supposed to be going on in the garden at this point in time. Begin spraying your roses as soon as the leaves emerge, if you will. Time to plant cool season grass like radishes, spinach, and sweet peas. Time to divide your hostas, peonies. And we have a great selection of herbs on display at the nursery right now. Ground moisture is plentiful right now, so it's easy to work the soil. So if you got to work up your soil, you might want to consider doing that because you can do it now without having to jump on the shovel.
There you go.
Still time to cut back your liriope, your yews, nandinas, hollies, boxwoods, crepe myrtles, burning bush, euonymus. All those can be cut back right now at this point. You can hear Kevin Potter's diesel-powered printing shears going at it today. It just seemed a big cloud of black smoke last weekend.
Woo, boy.
Anyway, don't forget to check your clematis. Also, for cutting back, scout the Bermuda grass, apply crabgrass preventer. You can do it now or at the latest time when the forsythias and lilacs are in bloom, or St. Patrick's Day, which is coming up real soon. It's all going to come together this year. So it's time to put down that crabgrass control, too, pretty soon. So we have a prodiamine, which has a very long lifespan. Some of these don't last that long, but this one does last long, so you get more bang for your buck on it. So it's less time you have to apply it, so... rake out the old rose leaves and turn over the soil around your roses, too. So the weeds are going to be starting to take over real soon too, so you want to do what you can to control them. So you might want to turn over the beds. I'm going to be turning over my annual beds tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I rake off all the mulch and then get the shovel and turn it over and put in compost or whatever to loosen up the soil if it's bad. So anyway, so that's happening right now too. You got to get your ground ready too. So time to fertilize trees also. I prefer to use a well-balanced fertilizer unless the soil indicates otherwise. So typically my trees are pretty good size and they get fertilized when I do the yard, so that keeps them going just fine. I noticed I had some borer problems on my maple trees this year, so I'll be using some mid-cloprid on that. We'll talk about that in subsequent shows as to how well that really worked, but I'm sure it'll work quite well on them. It got rid of the scale insects on my water oak. So let's see, forsythias are starting to show a little bit of color, as is the flowering quince. Time to check your soil and make changes before you plant April 15th. So check your soil, see if it's the soil pH is right. You might have it. If you're not having good luck with your plants and things, you might want to consider having a soil test done.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, looks like everybody who called is a winner of a cyclamen plant. So
Beta, Cheryl, Barbara, and Maury.
So come on by the radio station here and pick up your coupons. And
1200 Southeast Frank Phillips Boulevard, Bartlesville.
It's that strange-looking building as you come into town on Frank Phillips.
Looks like it came from space. Got all these dishes on it.
This giant satellite dish.
Huge ones. Gargantuan.
So anyway, and come by the nursery and check out our new stuff.
Tell everybody where you are.
We're at 4605 No Water Road, which is halfway between Washington Boulevard and Madison.
Mm-hmm.
On the south side of the road. Big old sign up front says Green Thumb on it.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, check out our stuff, too. We don't have very many shrubs out right now.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't arrived for the most part, but I think we're going to be in good shape here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Tom, keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
Thank you very much, Larry, as always. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour, followed by our local news and more, all right here.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ.